On December 8th, Americans for Peace Now held a conference call with Hagit Ofran, the director of Peace Now's Settlement Watch project. Because of technical difficulties and time considerations, we had to edit out the introductory comments and closing comments by APN's president and CEO, Deborah DeLee. What follows is the full recording of Hagit's comments.
Thank you very much. And I'm happy to be with you from Jerusalem. Let me start then with what really happened in Hebron and then to go to the broader context of what's going on. The story of this house in Hebron actually started in, like Deborah said, in March 2007, when the group of settlers broke in and got into it. Only after they broke in the house did they ask for a permit to enter. And as you probably understand, let us say I am going to buy a house in the center of Nablus, and I do it legally. If I go and live there, it doesn't mean that the Israeli government will establish a settlement in the middle of Nablus and send the IDF to protect me, and etc. This is a political decision, and this is why there is a law in the West Bank that says any purchase of a house by Israelis from Palestinians has to be confirmed by the Minister of Defense, so that it won't be a decision of the individuals to establish settlements. So only after they got in the house did they ask a permit, and of course the Minister of Defense said, no, it's not on the Israeli agenda to establish a new settlement in the middle of the city of Hebron. And as you probably know, the settlement in Hebron is inside a Palestinian city, not like all the other settlements, which are different or separated than the crowded Arab population. Here, it's in the same city. And in the last over 10 years, the security considerations and measures that were taken by the Israeli authority was actually closing down the Palestinian life of Hebron around the settlements. And if you go now to Hebron, to those areas where the settlements are, the roads are actually closed for Palestinian movement, and there is a big segregation and separation between the two societies in the same city. So the settlers decide to take over another house, which is not only a house, it's a very big compound, where they put a couple of dozens of settlers in order to maintain presence in other parts of Hebron. And the IDF, or the Minister of Defense, denies their being there. However, this decision was not carried out because the settlers decided to go to appeal against this decision of the minister. And then they started a series of appeals to the Supreme Court, to the military court, and to the district court. Every possible legal acrobatics that they could in order to maintain their presence and in order to actually confuse the Israeli public, because now they claim they bought the house, and the police already said that some of the papers that they show for the purchase of the house were false. But let's say they are claiming that over and over again, and the dispute in Israel became, instead of the question of do we want to have another settlement, to the question, did they buy it or did they not buy it, and why would the government kick them out? So in this perspective, I think those settlers did well in confusing the Israeli public on what is the real subject that we're on. What happened about 3 weeks ago, that the Supreme Court decided that no matter who owns the house, the settlers now have no right to be in it. They gave them 3 days to evacuate, And after these 3 days, the government can evacuate them from the house. This, of course, alarmed many settlers, and they started to arrange people to come to the house and to protect it from potential eviction by the Israeli forces. And last Monday night, there was a rumor saying that they are going to be evicted, and about 1,500 of youngsters, settlers, came to the house. And when they were sitting there waiting to the fight, they started also to attack Palestinians. The big violence that we saw started before the eviction, because they were waiting for the police. They wanted to make it harder. They wanted to make a mess, and they did. And I think, and this is my own estimation here, that the Minister of Defense decided to evict them only because they were so violent, because they were throwing stones and chemical materials on the police and on the soldiers. They were damaging a Muslim graveyard in Hebron and a Muslim mosque. So the Minister of Defense was very angry with them. And I believe that the eviction came because of the violence. And of course, after the evictions, the violence continued. And it's not only in Hebron; it's all over the West Bank. When we hear about attacks, the stoning of Palestinians and Palestinian cars, spraying graffiti on mosques with some curses to Muhammad, and other horrible things that are going on all around the West Bank by those settlers. Now, let us try to think, how did we come to this point where such violence is taking place, and why does it take place? The settler movement was always based on the very basic idea of holding the land by the force, mainly the force of the Israeli Defense Force, and actually the State of Israel, and doing it by force in the context of an occupation. So the basis is there from day one. However, what happened in the disengagement in 2005, the old leadership of the settlers, mainly the Yesha Council, failed in the protection of the Gaza Strip settlements. And many, many of the settlers became very frustrated from this leadership, which knew all the time how to maneuver between the threats on the Israeli government that is saying, if you will not let us do this, we will. And sometimes it's a threat with violence, sometimes it's a threat with the political power that the settlers have in Israel. And as you know, the political structure in Israel is of many, many parties, that if you want to be the leading party in the Knesset, you have to make a coalition in order to establish a government. And in this coalition, you need the ultra-Orthodox parties, and many times the religious parties and the right-wing parties. And because they have that power, it was always a threat on the Israeli politicians. And so they used, on the one hand, this political and violent threat, but on the other hand, they also knew all the time how to engage with the government and to negotiate with the leaders, and always meeting whoever is the government, if it's right wing or left wing. They always kept contacts with the government, direct contacts, in order to persuade them to support the settlement activity, and they did it very successfully for many, many years. So this agenda that led the settlers for so many years actually failed in the disengagement, and the frustration in the settlement movement came to big dispute on should we continue with this policy of engaging with the government. If this government is so bad to us, maybe we should start fighting against it. And mainly the right wing, or let's say the more extremist, the younger generation, and some rabbis took the stand that we should fight against the government and against the state. And they are the violent group that we see today, trying to change the game, the rules of the game in the West Bank, saying if you, meaning the government, if you're planning to evacuate any settlement, we are going to retaliate by attacking Palestinians and attacking the police, so that the government will be afraid of dealing with them, and it is a true threat for all the governments. So what we see in a result that for all so many years there have been violations of the law, there have been some kind of violence all the time in the settlements, and the government did not take care of it seriously, and now it's actually becoming getting out of control of the old leadership on the younger generation in the settlements. So what does that mean, or where does it lead us now? I think maybe paradoxically it has some positive aspects, and I think is that when the most Israelis see those horrible pictures of what is really looking like a pogrom, Israelis are saying to themselves, we don't want those people anymore doing what they're doing. We don't like the settlers, we don't see them as leading or making a Zionist move by settling, etc. It's actually make the settlers less and less popular. And I say it is a positive development because this is one of the biggest obstacles for Israel for so many years, to do the hard concession of giving up on what we built so many years, what we dreamed of in the land of Israel, and what we fight for, and this is a big price to pay in order to get the peace. But when the outcome is so cruel and so bad, more Israelis will feel less supportive. And we, in Peace Now, we try to take this atmosphere that is in the Israeli public, and to take it one step further. I mean, the most Israelis see in the television what we all see, and they say, wow, it's horrible, we're angry. But so we are trying to take this anger into action, into some kind of a message. And last Saturday night it was, we had a very big demonstration in Tel Aviv in front of the Ministry of Defense, calling for evacuation of all Hebron, and that meaning we take the further step. As long as the settlers sit in the middle of a Palestinian city, such violence is almost inevitable. And in order to stop those things that we see, we have to do the move. And we want to make something about it, to do something about it, and not only to say how horrible it is. And it was quite encouraging to see that this demonstration was decided on at Thursday in the morning, And in Saturday night, without any ad in the newspapers, only by emails and phone calls, we got about 500 people coming and demonstrating. So and it's also important in the context of what we are now in Israel in upcoming elections, when I think for the first time in many years there is going to be a dispute on the very questions that about peace or not going for peace. And we did not have this question because of so many years did we have a unity government that was actually saying right and left are together doing the same because there is no alternative. And I believe that in this election there is a chance for some kind of a debate of some kind of choice between the chances for peace or between the closing the door in front of peace.